W-D-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
The condensed version of last night's game with the Astros as they beat the Red Sox. I was watching it as I was taking the morning off. You guys heard a lot of the term Young Abigail. She will be producing the John Lance Show next week, all week. So this was a test run where I just sat. I won't say I sat in the corner. That brings up different imagery. But I was sitting there getting ready for this show while she was doing it. So I was watching the condensed version of the game, rewatching it, and I thought to myself, if the Space Cowboys gave me like 3 weeks, could I play as well or as bad defensively as the guys yesterday? Look, I have no arm, so I could have been that Red Sox right fielder. I could have been him last night, certainly. I think I could have gotten in position to get there to the ball. Now, the throwing part, I kind of mimicked what he did. What Whitcomb did at third base, Altuve's throw that pulled Pena off the bag, I wouldn't call it the best defensive baseball game I've ever seen. I think with a month with the Space Cowboys, I could mimic what was going on outside out there. Like getting in position, but turfing the throw. Duffing the throw. I could do that.
Throwing the ball away.
Yeah, I could do that.
You could definitely play for the Red Sox.
Well, the Astros weren't great either.
Yes, but that catcher for the Red
he's bad. At least last night he was bad.
Yeah. Last night he was bad.
Yeah. I feel like give me a month. Just teach me positionally reading, hey, look to the dugout and go, oh, this is where I need to be for this batter. Looking at my wristband and know, okay, this guy likes to pull the ball 80% of the time, whatever. I could be in the spot. I wouldn't make any of the throws, just like what happened last night. The Astros win in an ugly baseball game, and they gain or they build their lead to 5 now over the Mariners as they continue to fall apart. You'll take it. Kikuchi, another 5 2/3. That's all he does now. And once again, Altuve contributed to him not getting through 6. Altuve's throw that pulled Yiner off the bag eventually led directly to Kikuchi coming out of the game. And then a home run given up by Taylor Scott. So Kikuchi is a 5 2/3 type of guy, but he has been really good. Only gave up the one earned run. The Astros commit 4 errors last night and still find a way to win. So while Boston was bad, they weren't, at least all their defensive miscues weren't deemed errors. The Astros, oof, it was rough. Kikuchi made a nice play in an inning, and then on the next batter, Whitcomb botched the ball that led to a run scored. So if you were thinking this wasn't going to go Kikuchi's way, you would have been right to think so. But he fought through some of the defensive issues and found a way to perform really well. And that's what he's been here. He, at this point, I'm not looking throughout baseball because why would I do that? Because it feels like he might be one of the best deadline, although it wasn't deadline day, he might be one of the best acquisitions for around the trade deadline this year. Who's been better as far as what has been needed from him for his team and what he's produced and how high above expectations he's been? I can't think of anyone who's pitched or even contributed to the level of Kikuchi, who was acquired around that time. And I don't blame you if you can't think of any either, because at this point, baseball is mostly about your team. Not a lot of us are looking around baseball and going, who did the Orioles acquire? What's that guy doing? It's not how I, at least that's not how I perceive how people watch baseball anymore. It's no longer a national thing. It feels very regional, and we are a Houston, obviously, centric city when it comes to our team, and then we like to laugh at the Rangers and the Mariners. We don't even consider the A's and Angels. I think that's how it is. And, of course, when the Yankees are screw up, we laugh at them. And Kenley Jansen was on the mound for Yiners' game-winning homer, so that evokes memories of 2017 and him being a former Dodger. So you'll take that on top of winning the game. The fact that it came at the expense of a former Dodger, that's even better. So 5-4 the win. And you win any way you can. And at this point, we've talked about this before, I think, that the division almost feels like a foregone conclusion. I guess you're one losing streak and one Mariner hot streak away from it becoming a thing again, but it almost feels like that is the past, and all we're worried about is can we catch the teams in front of us. It's a logjam, but the teams in front of us to potentially avoid the wild card round in the playoffs, which is a crazy thought. We all know the narrative this year. 10 games back, playing poor baseball, everyone's hurt. And despite that, because guys continue to get hurt, we mentioned yesterday that Presley is on the IL. Despite guys continuing to get hurt, they find a way. And the latest, although he's been hurt all year, and most of last year too, Luis Garcia won't be back. It always felt like this as his ramp up was either halted or simply slowed down. That always felt like something we're going to get to a point where they eventually just said, nope, no Luis Garcia. And that was revealed yesterday, that Luis Garcia, any hopes of him coming back and maybe not being a starter, but maybe being a guy they leaned on, or at least a guy that could possibly get outs for them in a rough spot down the stretch, out the window. He won't be back. He'll continue to play catch, whatever that means for a baseball player. He will play catch, and the focus is no setbacks for 2025. So if you see Luis Garcia out there before the game, just wave hi and say, we'll see you in 2025, Luis. Appreciate you, because that is the final say on him. So at this point, now that we can wipe him off the board as far as potential contributors this year from the pitching staff, the count is at Garcia, McCullers, Christian Javier, Urquidy, J.P. France. Kendall Graveman is the last one where we're pretending like that's going to happen, I guess. The Astros haven't completely ruled him out, but it feels like he is the next one to eventually be ruled out for the year for Espada, by Espada and the Astros organization. And yet, they are getting maybe their most important piece back, at least the guy who has all the pelts on the wall, and Verlander. He will pitch on Wednesday here. I imagine if there's a big crowd, and even if there isn't one, he's going to get a pretty big ovation when he's out there. He's been gone quite a while. And the fact that he's going to pitch, you know what it is, Sean. It's like we got a Hall of Famer and Cy Young candidate back. That's our trade deadline acquisition. We get Verlander back.
Yeah, I mean, they already got a Hall of Famer in Cy Young candidate in Kikuchi.
He certainly, if he continues to pitch like this the rest of his career, like he's done the last few starts as an Astro, yeah, he is a Hall of Famer. He's been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but I mean, no other team is going to get someone who has had as dominant of a career as Justin Verlander back at the trade deadline. No other team did that.
No other team can say that they could acquire someone.
Never mind it's 20 days after the trade deadline, or 21 days after the trade deadline.
And never mind he's 40-plus years old. And are we getting Hall of Fame Verlander? But
doesn't matter, Dell.
The headline is the Astros are getting a Hall of Fame, multiple-time Cy Young Award candidate back for the playoff push. And we'll leave it at that. No more context is needed.
No thanks.
We're not looking for, is he going to be the same as he ever was? He's already showing signs of age. Can he possibly be the guy that we would want him to be down the stretch? Never mind all that. Just know we get Verlander back on Wednesday.
Yeah. Never mind that he kind of only goes 5 or 6 innings also, kind of like Kikuchi. Never mind.
Never mind all of that. And be aware that the early inning home runs going to occur. Forget about that.
Kikuchi, I didn't mean to draw so many parallels between Kikuchi and Verlaine.
But
Kikuchi takes a little while to settle into the game.
It's true.
If you're in the top three, top four of the other team's lineup, you know you can eat in that first.
You're
inning.
You might have a pretty good first inning. Now it wasn't helped by Whitcomb's error, but still he was in a little trouble. He made a good defensive play to help himself out. Then Whitcomb didn't help his cause. But yeah, early on, get Kikuchi early. Because you can't get him, you ain't going to be able to get it late. Or him late, excuse me.
Yeah, it late. Yeah.
That's on me. That's my mistake. Or was it a mistake?
He's a man.
You're right.
I know you're trying not to put Kikuchi on a pedestal, but
yeah.
He still has dignity.
That's right. But get to it early. You don't want to get to Kikuchi late because it's got no chance. You got no chance.
Yeah, you'll be desperate.
Yeah. Well, you're going to be desperate and swinging at things you shouldn't swing at. He'll be on. The Kikuchi is really great after the first inning. And really just any part of the early portion of the game, he's been really, really good. And that continued as he could have gotten the sixth innings. Would have been his first time doing it for the Astros, but Altuve had to make that throw. Eric, I see you. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll get to. And that stands for everyone else, 713-780-3776. Open forum, as it always is on the show. We've got a lot of college football stuff to get to as well because Mike Gundy is at it again. He's talking about things. he is done taking calls from his players when it comes to money, which is probably not unique to college sports, but it is in the last couple of years unique for it to be so public and coaches so open to talk about it because of the new rules. And we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans about Kamari Lassiter about Derek Stingley. The Texans were at the podium yesterday, so we'll get to that. Plenty of stuff to get to. But what I did want to talk about before we go to break is the Red Bull Show Run. If you don't know what that is, you should. It is F1 coming to the city of Houston. Now, it isn't a race, but you'll have championship cars out there at Discovery Green doing remarkable things at high speed. So if you're not really fluent in what F1 is, or you're big into it and maybe you watch the show on Netflix, this is the time for you to go out there. They're going to be out there September 7th for the Red Bull Show Run. And it's going to be a big time event. There'll be a giant pop-up. So it won't just be the cars out there doing cool things. They'll have interactive things for you as well. So you get to learn. You get to learn about what F1 is, what it can be if you want to understand it. So we're going to have events including the Red Bull Fan Zone. You're going to have local vendors out there. The doors will open at 10 a.m. Central that day. And you'll have all the racing action as far as the Red Bull Show Run. Remember, it'll be the two cars going out there showing you the best that F1 has to offer. And the Fan Zone will be out there for you too. So remember, September 7th at the Discovery Green Red Bull Show Run right here in Houston. Go out there and check it out.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
There has been some innovation when it comes to YouTube TV and the NFL package. We'll get to that in a little bit because it affects you guys. Now, the price seems exorbitant. I saw that. I was like, yeah, I'll just watch the Texans and find creative ways to watch other games. I'll just leave it at that when I say creative. But Eric joins us. He wants to talk about what Eric normally likes to talk about. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Dale. I'd say a few things. I said, now, who do you think won the trade between the Jays and the Astros? I don't know how Joey Lupofrito's doing.
Poorly.
Also, it's always good when the Astros beat the Boston Red Sox because all the Boston people that work there at ESPN Houston, they get so mad. And whatever happened to Forrest Whitley? Is he still on the team?
Forrest Whitley's with the Space Cowboys actually doing pretty well at last check. Will he be a September call-up? It's possible. He is in a relief role with them, doing really well. As far as all the Boston guys who work here, there's like one. It's just Paul. So I don't know if Paul cares enough about the Red Sox to get mad about them losing to the Astros in the regular season. That's something maybe Sean would know more than I would. I'm not sure. Sean, does Paul get upset when the Boston baseball team loses to the Astros?
No, he's not even. He's more of an Astros fan than a Red
Sox
fan.
There's your answer.
He jumped on the bandwagon.
Well, he appears to be a bandwagon fan. He looks it. So that's your answer to that. And your other thing, what did he ask about? Oh, what was the first thing you started with, Eric? Eric's gone.
About Kikuchi.
Oh, Kikuchi.
Who do you think won the trade, the Jays or the Kikuchi or the Astros?
At this point, the Astros. Of course, it appears because Loperfido is as bad as he ever was, as far as not getting on base, that he is not the measuring stick of whether this trade will be a good one or a bad one. It's probably going to be whether Jake Bloss can be a big-time starting pitcher. Will Wagner had a nice debut. I'm not sure what he's done since that opening series against the Angels. If Loperfido is going to be the black hole that he is in the lineup, I wouldn't be pointing to him as how the Astros won. Kikuchi, if he helps them at this point, maybe catch the top of the AL to avoid the wild card, and then if he has giant contributions in the playoffs, then the Astros, at least short term, will win it. Look to Jake Bloss. Maybe the Kikuchi thing is a great run, and if the Astros close the deal, then okay, they win. If they don't close the deal and Jake Bloss becomes a great starting pitcher, then we can have a different conversation. But the mid-20-year-old guys who are playing for the Jays right now, whatever. Although Will Wagner's still hitting over .470. So in his 19 games, he has, 19 at-bats, he has 9 hits. So right now, it's a clear win for the Astros for like the next 2 months or so. We'll see what happens later. Anything else, Eric? I think I've answered. No Abigail Dye stuff, nothing. I think we're good here, right?
Was Abigail Dye working there at ESPN 97.5? Is she producing the show now?
That's a different Abigail. I'm not going to give you her last name. I'm not going to give you her last name.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eric.
So have a good day.
You too, because Abigail's already been, well, she's already been found on Instagram, but apparently it happened again yesterday, so it is what it is.
You'd stuck around for one too many questions.
Yeah, I don't know. Because he always hangs on, so I'm assuming going to give him an option to keep asking things.
He does hang up when he's done.
Okay, so and he didn't hang up this time, yeah. So I was wondering. I gave him an Abigail Dye runway, and he took it. No, she doesn't work here. That's a different one. And she'll be producing the John Land Show next week, so good on her and good on you people on Twitch and YouTube if you so choose to watch. That's up to you. All right, so the Texans were at the podium yesterday. And we'll get to some national sound because we will sometimes play the dissenting opinion because it's so few and far between. But there's another national voice, the reasonable Acho, both Texas guys. I'll ask you, Texas guy, Sean Mapes, who would you say I'm proud for that guy to be a Texas Longhorn, Sam or Emmanuel? Which one?
I mean, Emmanuel, more successful media personality.
He has taken a path that has led to a bigger name, sure.
But I'd go with Sam.
Yeah, I feel like you would choose Sam if you had to choose one.
Yeah, it's like, okay, he's written some books, but at what cost?
He has
a lot more Twitter followers, but at what cost?
He's frontline on Fox Sports, but at what cost?
Exactly.
Yeah. And Sam on ESPN, a reasonable take. Mostly on everything. So we're from Sam Acho on the Texans. But D'Amico Ryans talked about Kamari Lassiter. He's talked a lot about Kamari Lassiter this year, this offseason and into training camp. And it's been all positive. It makes sense. The man is the starting corner as a rookie opposite Derek Stingley. So what about Kamari Lassiter makes him? And this is not a joke. It used to be when we used to go Texans worthy. It used to be a joke because what does that mean? You guys stink. What does it mean to be Texans worthy? Although it was a tagline for the Texans. You had to be a certain type of player to play here. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the new version of Texans worthy, and Kamari Lassiter fits.
For Kamari, you can tell like he's built for this. Like when it comes to the mental toughness piece that plays a lot into being a good football player at this level. Like, you have to be mentally tough. You have to be have that next play mentality. And, you know, at Georgia, Kirby's done a great job, you can tell, of raising them the right way, of having those guys. Kirby's done a great job with all of his guys, having those guys NFL ready to go. And that's one thing you see from Georgia, like, year after year since he's been there, right? Those guys are plug and play type players, and it's a credit to him and his program and how they run things there. It's you get a Georgia guy, you know you're getting an NFL player.
Tell it to Howie Roseman. That feels like his draft motto. Did you go to Georgia? You're in. You can be an Eagle. So yeah, Kamari Lassiter fits. I mean, put on some gloves or something. I mean, I don't need my corner. You can be Texans worthy and Texan and built for this and all this stuff, but if you got no gloves on,
get some drip.
Yeah, something. A little bit. It can be just gloves. Even that's a little not great as far as the drip, but at least you're wearing gloves.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Kirby Smart. Does a great job preparing them, not only for the NFL, but also NASCAR.
Oh, I thought you were going to be. He raises them right. Does he, D'Amico? Does he? As football players, sure. But as far as good citizens and drivers,
he didn't say that. D'Amico
Ryan.
But
he raises them right. But I think that was just strictly for football.
Football only.
Because
they're all great football players.
There's evidence to suggest he doesn't do a great job of instilling any discipline off the field. And the evidence is all the, you know, the police blotter stuff. It is what it is. Billy Napier feels differently on how to create a good football team. And that's why he's he has the best odds to get fired. Notice Kirby Smart, not on that list, despite what you might think of his players off the field. So Kamari Lassiter, one of the Georgia guys who didn't get caught up in a speed ring. He somehow avoided it, and now he's a Houston Texan and is going to be your starting outside corner opposite Derek Stingley. We'll hear from Kamari Lassiter when we come back. Speaking of Stingley, Stingley is one of those guys who has a lot of respect. He's a younger player, but all the guys coming up talk about him in a certain way because they all watched him very recently beyond winning the national title for LSU. Stingley was one of those guys on the camp circuit who was a big name in high school, just dominated. That's why he reached the status that he did. Cam Akers is the same way. You hear the guys talk about Cam Akers, and even CJ referenced it. Cam Akers been out of high school for years, obviously. And still, CJ's referencing Cam Akers and what he was as a high school player because Cam Akers was one of those dudes. We're going to hear when we come back, Kamari Lassiter talk about Derek Stingley and learning from him and why Stingley is one of those dudes. And it's been Stingley since high school. He's been talked about this way. Before we get to that, I do want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. If you got a leak, they're the place for you. If you got bad water, dirty, disgusting water, and you need a repipe, they're the place for you. If you need a water heater replaced, whether it be tankless or traditional, they're the place for you. You're seeing a trend here. If you have any plumbing issues, go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. And if you're someone who's not sure what's going on and you need a free price quote, they'll take care of you there too. Just call them, 281-488-6238 for that free price quote. They will make sure they set you up right. They're a local company headed by a local man, Billy Brown, out of the Clear Lake area. He employs local contractors to get you squared away. No matter what the issue is, Aqueduct Plumbing can take care of you. So big or small, and the big jobs are the scariest ones. That's why they have experienced contractors who have done, I mentioned the repiping, they've done over 1,000 of those. So if that's something you're looking into, go to them. They're experienced, they're local, and certainly beyond competent. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. That's AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean, have you ever been or are part of a NFL Sunday ticket family? Like, you know, you never had it or none of your family ever had it?
No one that I ever lived with in my family had it. My parents never had it. I never had it.
Yeah, I've never had it either. Even being someone who is an out-of-market fan, you find other ways if you want to watch your team play, or you just stick with Red Zone if your team sucks that year so you don't have to make yourself miserable. Well, We know the switch to YouTube TV happened, and Sunday Ticket, if you want it, you got to go through YouTube TV. And they're bringing in something I think a lot of people want it. Now it's not the prefab multi-view. You can set it up yourself. You can do the four box. I don't think you can do eight box, which is something I think DirecTV offered. But you can pick and choose your four games and set them up any way you like. At times during the college football season, if someone who had YouTube TV, which I do have, it was a lot of, you can pick the ABC game and then the ESPN game, the ESPN2 game, but you can, and they all have to be together. You could not move them around at your own choosing. So maybe I want to see FAU versus FIU, and then Nebraska versus Colorado. I can't pick and choose. You can't pick and choose. At least you couldn't. Maybe you can for college football coming up this year. But if you're an NFL person and you like Sunday Ticket, this is your year. You can have your four box and pick any game you want to watch. So that's changed. And they also are going to have a fantasy football option, way to watch the games as well. So YouTube TV adapting. They might as well. They paid a lot of money to Google. They paid the NFL a lot of money, Google did. So this is their development plan. And it's probably a great way to do it. The forcing the people to watch the box the way you want them to watch it, people weren't fans of. So that'll be new this year.
It seemed like such an easy fix.
Yeah.
To be like, you can watch any game, any NFL game you want in the just the noon slate or the afternoon slate. But the noon slate just has more. So you can watch any game you want in the noon slate. And you can watch four games at a time. But those you can't choose whichever ones you want. That's where it's like, there seems to be an easy fix.
Yeah. What are you guys missing here? And they figured it out. So you can pick a la carte what games you want to watch, and then I think even move them around to what particular section of the screen you want as well.
Psycho. You do that.
we do that with Restream with our cameras.
Yeah, but there's a specific reason for that.
There is. What you
host
think,
egos,
you,
that's why.
Yeah, what if the producer's camera was the one at the top?
On the top.
And all the hosts were at the bottom.
It's a power move.
Yeah, we're establishing dominance from that room. Yeah, you think it's a psycho move to move the games around?
It just seems very OCD.
Probably. Like, it probably is.
I need the Chiefs-Dolphins top left. I need Texans-Patriots top right. I need Jacksonville-Vegas bottom right.
Yeah. And if
it's
you
like, just put them wherever.
Yeah, and if you don't know, multi-view with YouTube TV, if you're thinking about getting it, making your decision, you can. Beyond that, obviously, you can also pick the sound you want to hear. You just move the cursor over or whatever, and you can do that. So that's new for this year for people who are going to have the Sunday Ticket package. No more complaints about them making you watch there will be complaints.
No complaints about this specific thing.
You can yell about other things. Why don't I have the option to watch eight games at a time?
We will complain.
Sir, I've seen your TV. You can't watch eight games and actually see what's going on.
That is the ultimate limit, I feel like, is eight. Never mind that I actually believe that it's impossible to watch eight different games.
It's nuts, yes.
You're not going to be able to watch games six, seven, eight as intently as you're watching the first five.
Not a chance. I'm trying to think. If I put eight games on my screen, would I catch more than one play from any of those games at a time? Like, could I? Oh, I think I would. My mind would make me focus on one game.
At a certain, yes, that's what happened. As someone who's watched on quad box before,
yeah.
Like, you, even on four, really two take priority. One or two take priority. The other two, it's just kind of checking in on during commercials or whatever.
Sure. I don't think I'm going, it would be a lot of Panthers versus, I don't know,
the NFC South.
Chargers.
The NFC South will not be featured.
Yeah, Panthers versus Saints probably isn't going to get my eye line. It's going to be something my eyes focus on when there's other games to go on. And to be honest with you, the eight-box, four-box thing, which will be on YouTube TV, is worthless to me because if I cared that much about the four games going on, I just put on Red Zone.
That's what I was going to say, especially once you get past four. Four is like the bare minimum of you're not watching all four games. You're watching maybe two, and then you're just keeping an eye on the other two.
Yeah, I mean.
Where if you need any more than that, like you said, you can watch one and then put another TV on Red Zone or put a laptop on Red Zone.
Do you really need to see the third and sixth between Panthers Saints in the first quarter from the 25-yard line. I
need to see Derek Carr throw short of the sticks on third down.
Alvin Kamara, furious because he got drilled by two linebackers because Derek Carr led him into it. Do I need to see that? Actually, I might want to see Kamara's reaction, but if I'm not getting that, I don't need to see it. So there it is. YouTube TV has answered some of your complaints. You'll be able to pick and choose what games you watch for the low, low price of like $800, depending on when you signed up. There it is. Which always seemed like a crazy amount.
I always wondered how they get to that number.
They have to decide, okay, we're giving them $11 billion for this. How do we make it worthwhile for us? And the technology, I guess, we're putting in to make it all work, the $800 amount fits what we want. In fact, you know, it's probably $400 more than we need to charge, but we're going to do it.
That's what I was going to say. If they offered offered it for $900. How many fewer people would buy it?
Instead of like $8.99 or $7.99. Yeah. Why pick 99 as your what's the
or even if they did $999, like that extra $100. If you're already paying $800, you'll pay $900 for it.
Yeah. What's the point? What's the breaking point for people who have decided $800 is good? They're good with $800.
Yeah.
The round number of 1,000 is too much for you. Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I think seeing the comma.
I think 1,000. Four numbers.
Yeah.
I think that would be too much for people. All right. Really? But $8.99, you got me.
I'm in.
So I have overstated the package just a little bit, but not by much, though. According to John Orion, YouTube will play Sunday Ticket on the Apple app. If you want to go through the App Store on Apple, if you want to watch your iPad or phone, it'll cost $679.99 this year. And if you want Red Zone attached, it'll be $739.99. So if you're not going through YouTube TV for whatever reason, well, the reason would be you already have a live TV package. Those are the prices, much like a cell phone. Like if you just want to buy a cell phone, not attached to a new plan, new deal, this is your option for Sunday Ticket. The price was much lower if you want to go through YouTube TV earlier. I'm not sure what the price is now for that. They're not getting me. That's cool. I can watch the Texans on one TV. And then maybe use my laptop for ulterior means. Whoa. If I need to watch something else.
Yeah, the Texans being good and local
makes it very easy not to get suckered into that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And guess what? Our job requires us to talk a lot about the Texans. So our focus should be on the Texans, which validates the reason. I wish we could write it off, though. If I go into Todd's office and go, hey, it's for work.
You might be able to.
On your taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Todd's going to reimburse me.
No.
For that.
I doubt it. Never hurts to ask. But
it might.
It might hurt to
ask. You go in there and ask.
That is true.
Get out of my office. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You should.
I
have never tried
it,
but you should be able to write it off.
Yeah.
It's an expense for work. TV. See if I try it. I mean, it wouldn't be great for that.
I just forget, I think.
Yeah,
April.
I never remember it. What's the IRS going to get out of me if they audit me for that? Oh, no. We're going to have to go through your stuff. Don't worry about it. There's a lot of, like, Chipotle receipts you're going to have to go through. And Chick-fil-A. That's all. Those are the big purchases for me. And maybe a plane ticket at points. Oh, I did buy a TV and a PlayStation 5 this year. So maybe the IRS has something to gain from coming after me.
You should throw that on.
As an expense?
Yeah.
It's show content to buy the video game, the PlayStation 5, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get back on track, at least Texans-related stuff. You'll hear from Kamari Lassiter on Derek Stingley and the favorable Acho, we've determined. Sam talks about the Texans and what they could be this year. We'll get to that when we come back.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay. Yesterday, the Texans spoke. We heard from D'Amico Ryans earlier about Kamari Lassiter and getting a Georgia player is good. Kirby does it right down there. We've seen Kamari Lassiter go from second-day pick to immediate starter opposite Derek Stingley. Well, here's Kamari Lassiter talking about who's CB1, Derek Stingley, and what he provides for the team. And he calls him, well, you'll hear it right here.
second to none, honestly. I haven't seen a defensive back have as good as ball skills as he has. Like, it's just like a superpower of his. Like, he's just able to just snatch it up out the air. Like, you know, it's just something that you really can't teach. You can't coach that. That's something that God blessed him with, and you know, he uses it all the time. And it's just crazy to watch. You know, I'm like, hey, that Sting right there. I told him on the side, I'm like, yeah, like, you that one for sure. But yeah.
Yeah, if you think back to his time at LSU, there was a thought of him playing both ways after his freshman year. Of course, it all fell apart there with Ed Ogeron, but he's so great with the ball in his hands and even just attacking the football that there was, after how great 2019 was, that, you know what, we're losing guys. Is there a chance that we run Stingley out there as a dual threat? Of course, COVID happened and things got switched up, but that's the level of athlete he is, and he showed it. Now, Daniel Jones threw the ball right to him. Twice, actually. Stingley was so early on the first one, it hit him like in the forearm. He was, he was so surprised that ball was thrown to him, he didn't catch it. But the second one, it wasn't a well-thrown pass either, inside and short, and he made the play. Very easily made the play. That he looks a guy who's comfortable with the ball in the air, which means, you heard Kamari Lassiter talk about it, anytime that ball is thrown in his area, there's a real shot he's coming down with it, which, you know, turnover is such a big deal. It's great to have that particular guy out there in the secondary who will turn a good play into a great one with his ability to go attack the football. So Stingley is one of the guys that has people very high on this team, and rightfully so. And we've deemed him the favorable Acho, or the good Acho, I guess, when it comes to Achos in the media space. Sam Acho of ESPN discusses what he thinks of this Texans team and where they are in the pecking order.
How far do you think they can go in the postseason?
Oh, this is a Super Bowl caliber team, without a doubt. Why do I say that? Look at their defense. You start with Danell Hunter, had 16 and a half sacks last season. That was a career year. They also brought in Denico Autry, 11 and a half sacks as a defensive tackle. And then your reigning defensive rookie of the year, Will Anderson, all coached by D'Amico Ryans, who in his second year as the defensive coordinator for San Francisco coached them to a number one defense. That's just on one side of the ball. Haven't even started talking about some of the offensive superstars, the studs that this Houston Texans team has. I got a chance to run into D'Amico Ryans a few months ago, and we chatted about this year and this season, even last year. He said, man, I have a sense of urgency. I am not waiting for anyone. This is no such thing as a rebuild. I did it as a player. I wanted to win then, and I want to win now. I expect Super Bowl expectations for the Houston Texans.
I was waiting for the entire time for that music to hit. We flipped to some B-roll on the screen. Let's play the music. It's my pet peeve. I don't get it. Isn't necessary. I guess if you're flipping away from the guy and you want to show what he's talking about, you have to throw in the generic rock music, the non-copyrighted rock music, so you can enhance what he's talking about when you see the team on the screen. Yeah, it's just another opinion that falls in line with what everyone else is saying. Just so much positivity. I'm not one that, it's too positive. Things have to go poorly. We've talked about this. They're a good team. They're a good team. The schedule's really strong. I'm not sure what that'll mean for them. We don't say that about the other good teams. I don't know exactly where the Ravens rank as far as their schedule is concerned, but no one is saying the Ravens are good, but their schedule's tough, so they won't be a contender. You're either a contender or you're not. So if you believe in the Texans, you think all the things that people are saying about them is correct, don't throw any of those caveats in about, the quarterbacks they're playing are too tough and the schedule doesn't line up for them. No, good teams go out there and find a way to win. Or you're like, you think they're what the Eagles were last year, where the numbers, even no matter how good the record was, the numbers said this team was playing above who they are. And it turns out late in the year we saw the Eagles do that. Hell, the Dolphins have how good their offense, no matter how good their offense was, there are some questions about them, and we saw them down the stretch still make the playoffs but fall apart against good teams. You can think of the Texans in two ways. Either they're one of the real contenders or one of those teams who will overwhelm the worst teams and then not beat the good teams. I don't subscribe to the second one. If they're good, they're good, and they'll find a way to beat good teams throughout the year. They just have to prove it, go out there and prove it, which speaks to a belief in them, but That has to be shown. The Chiefs and the Ravens have what I would call institutional belief. They've just been really good franchises for years now, so people are just going to trust that their process, and it's going to work out for them. The Texans are only a year plus into this new version of them, so got to go out there and prove it. But at least right now, there's real belief in them that they can. I did want to get to this before we go to break. Sean is someone I would say, he's not a starting college quarterback, but he's a doppelganger of one. He doesn't like the comparison so much. Okay, I get it. He doesn't want to be compared to this guy. Understood. But, Sean, can you guess who was the oldest starting quarterback in college football this year?
I saw this stat, and I could tell from the way you brought it up.
Uh-huh.
It's Cam Rising.
Cam Rising, the former Texas Longhorn, much like Sean was.
At the same time.
At the same time.
We shared a campus.
Cam is – Sean's in his upper 20s. Cam is slightly younger.
He's in mid-20s.
Mid-20s, which says all you need to say, that is the fact that he's still starting college football games. He sat out last year. It was a will he won't he all year last year. He's much like an Astros pitcher. But last year, he didn't play. He's back for another year. He's 25 years old. He is the oldest starting quarterback in college football. And apparently it's a Big 12 thing. Because Alan Bowman, yes, that Alan Bowman who you've seen at Tech and Michigan is now at Oklahoma State for a second year. In fact, wasn't he the quarterback of the second place team in the Big 12 last year? They lost to Texas in the title game. He is back at 24. Tyler Shook, 24 years old at Louisville. Dylan Gabriel, he of former Oklahoma and UCF fame, is 23. KJ Jefferson, now at UCF, is 23. Graham Mertz, 23. DJ Uiagalelei, 23. What do they all have in common? Transfers. That's kind of the way it plays out. And redshirting even after transferring. The fact that Alan Bowman is still hanging around. In fact, he tweeted out a picture, I think, or put it on Instagram, that he's going into the 19th grade. It's the first day of school for him. 19th grade.
Seventh year of college.
It feels like he's been around. It feels like he's been around longer than that, to be honest with you.
It does feel like it's been a while.
Because Alan Bowman has started football games for teams, and you think at some point the eligibility would run out. Now there's a COVID thing, and you can sit a year and all the stuff.
Yeah.
But it feels like, God, it feels like he's been around for a decade.
Because he started as a freshman.
Yeah.
He started as a freshman at Texas Tech, again, while I was still in college.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was a quarterback when the Longhorns are at Tech in Lubbock when they were up 2 touchdowns like 2 minutes ago and blew the game. He was the quarterback like either shushing the Texas crowd or doing horns down. I forgot what it was.
It was the second thing.
Yeah. Serves them right, for blowing that game.
Exactly.
You don't do horns
down.
That's what
happens. Yeah. No, I am conflicted about this because it does feel like it's part of the last little flickering of like, I'm still young. Yeah. I'm still hip.
Cam Rising is still playing college football.
I went to college with these guys.
Yeah. You love it, right? Cam Rising is still out there. Alan Bowman is playing, and I was in college when he started playing.
Yeah.
I'm not old. I'm not getting close to
But on
age.
On the other hand, I am a little bit like,
get a job.
Come on, dude.
Man, I've been in the workforce for years now. Get a job.
What are you doing?
Although, to be fair, as NIL has come about,
they probably make more than I do. Yeah.
Probably? Starting at Power 5 schools, you think probably?
Well, we don't know.
Kind of know. Considering what Mike Gundy was talking about, we'll get to that maybe a little bit later. Him complaining about guys, agents calling for more money. I think we know. I don't know if Alan Bowman's one of those guys. Yeah. But you look at some of the oldest quarterbacks in college football, they are on teams that are expected to be pretty good outside of Graham Mertz. That Florida team is not expected to be good. But the rest, Utah ranked, Oklahoma State ranked, Louisville ranked, Dylan Gabriel at Oregon ranked, and DJ Uiagalelei with Florida State ranked as well. So they may have been around a long time, but they are going to be the starting quarterbacks for some of the best teams in the country, and we'll see how that plays out. LaSalsa, we'll get to you. You want to talk Astros on the other side. Anyone else, certainly you can get in, 713-780-3776. Now, I'm going to be out next week, but I'm going to let you guys know this week, when I come back, we're going to do Plant Your Flag Week because it'll be the lead-up to the first major weekend of college football. There's some games this weekend headlined by Florida State playing Georgia Tech in Ireland. but it's like four games, although it is a top 10 team playing. And when I come back, you're staking your claim. So let's also, you can do it now. I'm not sure you're a college football fan, but everybody who calls in that week is going to tell us who they root for. We're a college football show, if you haven't noticed. Sean and I are very clear in our allegiances. Sean more positive and rightfully so about his. I'm definitely afraid of my head coach's meatheadness, just the way I feel. We'll see how it plays out. Talented roster. Don't trust a head coach. It's where I stand. Everyone else, we know some of you have told us who you root for. That's happening. You can start it this week too, but we're keeping a list. That's Sean's job. I'm not doing it. We're keeping a list. Sorry, I just shocked Sean. We're keeping a list because this show loves some slander. And if we don't want you calling in being so thrilled with your team and talking about them if we don't know beforehand. You can't call in about how great Tech season is if we don't know you're a Tech fan beforehand, because then you can hide if they're bad. Stake your claim. Between now and, what is it, August 30th, you start staking your claim to who you root for, because this show, particularly on Tuesdays, because Monday's going to be NFL week, at least once the NFL season starts. It'll be NFL day. But that Tuesday's going to be a lot of college football stuff. So stake your claim before August 30th, or any of your cheering about your team is null and void on this show. I'm not going to respect you coming in after your team's starting a great year. What's that about? You know, you can begin trashing us that Monday if maybe not Sean. Sean's team's not losing that first Saturday. My team got a real shot.
Always got to respect your opponent, Dell. I respect Jay Norvell they're building over in Fort Collins.
You don't have to worry. You don't have to respect them. Your team does, for the purposes of not having an embarrassing loss. You can talk as much trash to Jay Norvell as you want. It doesn't matter. Although I would say, cover Torrey Horton. I saw the Texas corners in the spring game. They weren't covering anyone. And Torrey Horton's going to be a problem if they continue that. So we'll get to that. We'll get to La Salsa when we come back. He wants to talk Astros. Maybe.
Warning. Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This episode, sponsored by Little Sleepies. Parents, when your kids ask to put their pajamas on before it's even bedtime, you know you've found something special. That's the magic of Little Sleepies. Made from Lunalux, their signature buttery soft bamboo viscose, Little Sleepies are unbelievably soft, breathable, and stretchy enough to fit longer as your little ones grow. With adorable prints and matching styles for the whole family, they're perfect for bedtime stories, movie nights, Saturday morning cartoons, and all the cozy moments in between. From the first yawn of the evening to weekend cuddles on the couch, Little Sleepies makes family time feel even softer. Visit littlesleepies.com, that's littlesleepies.com, and discover why families can't get enough of Little Sleepies.